I just recorded the whole podcast and I realized I didn't actually click record. Oh my God, that actually sucks. Now I have to. Okay, anyway, we're going to talk about the Substack essay that I wrote about planning and how I plan things all the time and how, when it comes to planning things in relation to school and academics into a work environment or career environment, that came pretty easily. And I think it's because of the societal pressure around it. Because when you're in school, everyone's telling you that, oh, if you don't do well in school, you're going to be a failure. Or if they don't tell you that explicitly, that's like an implicit notion that's like, oh, you're a loser if you don't do well in school or something like that. And you know, that's enough social pressure for me to be like, okay. And the thing was that when I was in school, especially in elementary school, I wasn't popular at all. So so if you're not popular at all and you don't have many friends, then basically you have to just lean into the academics because you're like, well, I don't have a social net of community, so I need something else that gives me the ability to still do well in society. And that was like the grades, doing well in school, because like, okay, if I'm successful in school, then I can be successful in later points in life. And it only gets more specific every time, especially because I want to work in computers. And because I want to work in computers, you're going to have to go to an engineering school. If you go to an engineering school, then once you're at the engineering school, you have to set yourself up in a way that you can actually get a job afterward. So take classes that are related to the thing that you want to do your job in, or do projects that are related to the thing you want to do your job in, because you have to do projects to bolster your resume. And then once you bolstered your resume, then you got an internship. And then once you had an internship, then you prove that you could work in a work environment, and then you can get a full-time job. So that was basically the path for me. And I planned most of that all out, where it was like, okay, this is my 3-year plan for graduating in college, and these are the courses that I'm going to take that align with the thing that I want. And then you go from there. And I did that even pre-college, but in college, it becomes like way more obvious that these are the things that are going to be directly related to your job. Whereas in high school and previously, it's a lot less clear. It's more like, okay, these are the classes that are going to eventually get me the prereqs that are the things that I need for the college. And that's kind of how that went. Or you just have to have good grades for the sake of like getting into better schools. So it didn't actually matter which classes you took. It just mattered like how good the grades were for the classes you took, because most people were going to take the same classes in whatever those years were. That made perfect sense, and I was pretty successful at that. I work in computers now, so clearly the planning worked. But when it comes to other things that don't have that societal pressure of like, do this thing, like there was never a time where I was like not gonna do my homework, because it just seemed so anathema as a thing. Same thing with like, I'm never gonna like not show up to work and not do the task that's been laid out to me at work. But when it comes to things that are just pure hobby and pure like, okay, you have to be self-disciplined. And I don't even want to talk about self-motivated, because I feel like it's more the discipline. It's more about like showing up than it is about like having the motivation, because you don't need inspiration to strike. You just have to do the thing. And I found that with writing too, where it's like you start writing the thing, and then because you started writing the thing, it forces you to start thinking about the thing, and then boom, 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 insight, and then it just starts unfolding. But you actually have to start in order to get to that point. And I think that's the issue that I have with all of these other hobbies that I want to do, where with language learning, I have to like go and start. And then when you're starting, there's like a little bit of what I call it, prep time. It like takes a second before you're actually in the zone for the thing you're doing. And you have to be okay with that. It's just like this bumpy road that you go through. And I feel like the bumpy road is more or less like 10 minutes or something like that. And then once you pass that, then you're like, okay, I'm in this task right now, and I'm able to like focus on this specific task. Whereas if you never start, because when it comes to those tasks, the getting past that 10-minute mark is very difficult when you think about other things that you could be doing that give you your, what do I call it, your dopamine pleasure way earlier, where it's like, okay, I know that if I click on a YouTube video, it's going to immediately engage me, or whatever, like the popular YouTube video, is, because they're designed that way. They know that way. They see the attention graph. So when you watch a YouTube video, it's designed in a way where it can grab your attention well before that 10-minute mark. Whereas every other task, you have to get to that 10-minute mark. And I'm absolutely sure that maybe if you do the thing more, then over time it takes less than 10 minutes, and then that might work out. But yeah, I'm glad I thought of that right now, because I did not think too hard about this in the article about like what the difficulty is with like actually doing things. And I think it's mostly centered around that startup time of like, okay, I don't want to start, because if I start, then I have to like wait till I'm at the point that I'm in the zone for the thing. But yeah, so what were the goals that I had planned out? Were language learning, music in the form of trying to learn piano, or dancing. So dancing in the form of swing dancing. At one point it was ballet. I was doing ballet for a little bit. My God, I have so much respect for ballet dancers after doing that. I remember doing my first pliés and I was like, what the fuck are these leg muscles? I've never used these leg muscles in my life. And people are doing this at like, I don't know, 10, 8, I don't know how early people start ballet, pretty early. And then they do that until they're an early adult, and then their career is just done. Like, how much more stuff can you do as an adult ballet person? I don't know. But anyway, so those are like the three ideas that I had. But when it came to doing those, I haven't played piano all year. It's May. It's almost been half the year. I haven't swing danced all year. Again, almost half the year. Now, language learning with Japanese, I've done pretty okay. It's just a lack of consistency. Like, if you look at that Substack article, you'll see like certain months, there's like a ramp up. It was 36 hours in January, 33 hours in February, 71 hours in March. And then it goes down to seven and a half hours in April. And now in this month of May, it's like 34 hours. So I'm at 180 hours, almost 200 hours in Japanese. So clearly that's been an area where I've been able to keep doing things. And but not consistently, but you are doing an amount a month. Whereas for these other tasks, it seems a lot more difficult to just do it. Like the piano's right next to me. It's been right next to me for a month now since I moved here. And it's like, you could just play piano. Like 30 minutes a day isn't that hard. When I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, if you did 30 minutes a day of practice over the course of a year, you'd get like 175 plus hours of practicing, and that's not insignificant at all. That's so much. So I don't know. Yeah, I think the main thing is getting over that 10-minute hump for anything, because I experienced this with writing, I experienced this with Japanese, but the experience of it with piano and dancing is more that those things, it seems so obvious how far the chasm is. It's so hard to tell. It's so hard to feel like you've made significant progress. Japanese also has some of that issue, but there's a lot more faith that I have that it's like, okay, this will definitely get better. I believe this will get better. But when it comes to piano, you get to the piano and you're just like, okay, I can play this really basic thing right now, but how do I go from that to playing a whole piece? Like, it takes a while, and the diligence and discipline, and it's really hard to see how it all comes together compared to other things. And I think that's the difficulty with it, is the perfectionist attitude, where you're like, oh man, I should be this good at this point. And then when you have that perfectionist attitude, it gives you a negative mindset. And then when you have a negative mindset, it makes your practice even worse. So it's like, it's such a downward spiral from there. So you have to get rid of that perfectionist mentality. When I did the previous recording, that totally is not a thing anymore because I didn't record it, which was very annoying. I started out by being like frustrated over the perfectionism that I was having towards even making these podcasts and YouTube videos, because I'm on episode 5, and I did 3 attempted takes before this one. The third one would have been the current video, but I didn't actually record it, so we're going to count that as 3 attempted takes. And it was because of that perfectionist attitude that I kept having difficulty, because I'd like start talking and be like, oh, that's not good. And then you give up. And it's like, you don't have to do that. You just have to go. And I perfectly understood this at episode 1, where I was like, first is the worst. Like, it's going to be bad. And you're going to, that the video is like just not going to be as good as it will be in the future when you get more reps in. But I'm already at episode 5, and I'm already put such high expectation for myself of like, okay, so now I write the Substack article before I actually talk about the thing, because when I write the Substack article, then I can be more fleshed out in what my thoughts are. And when the ideas are more fleshed out, then it'll be better when I actually record it. And that's true. But now that I've done that format, and this is the 4th time doing that format, you've already set the higher expectation for yourself. And I don't know why it happens so quickly. I don't know why the human brain's able to do that. But I need to have that first episode mentality for every episode. Where it's just like, yeah, we're back to the drawing board. And we're just starting wherever we're starting. And then we go. So I think that's what I gotta think in mind when it comes to doing things that are intrinsically motivated, that there can't be that much pressure. There just can't, because you're not going to do as well if there's not much pressure. But there can't be no pressure too, because you do want to get better. So it's that difficult balance of not being too hard on yourself, but being just hard enough on yourself that you do better. Because I wrote this in the Substack article, but I'm pretty sure that even if I fail to be diligent and get better at the hobby goals that I have, that economically, career-wise, I'm probably going to be fine. But that's not what life is all about. It's not about like the amount of money in your bank account. Now, I'm saying that as someone that makes a good amount of money compared to the average American. Like, obviously, most people will be like, yo, if I'm making minimum wage, obviously I care about my bank account right now. Like, here's me making significant amount of money and being like, well, now I want to do hobbies. And it's like, yeah, because you're in an economic strata where you have the ability to do those things. It's surprising to me how many people have the wherewithal when it comes to money, but do not expand their lives in other ways, because they could totally do that. They have the time. They actually have the time, unlike a lot of people where time is money. So yeah, it's so interesting. Like, it makes more sense to me, the people that like fully dedicate themselves to their career, than the person that does their 9-to-5, but does nothing outside of the 9-to-5 in terms of like a holistic life, because that's weird to me. It feels like that should be the more of the thing, where it's like, okay, how do I create a holistic life now that I have the opportunity to do so? Because you can be in such a great place, but you know, I shouldn't judge other people's lifestyles. This is just how I want to, I think about things personally. Either give it your all in terms of your career stuff so that you can make the biggest impact on the world through the work that you do, or try to do what you can to make yourself a well-rounded individual in the world. We're not going to get into like what life should be about, because I should write about that later, or what my personal ideas of what life should be about. I don't even think I have that fleshed out. I can't even have that fleshed out at 23. It's definitely going to change over time. But I can write about what it is in the moment, and then I'll change later. What else did I forget to talk about that I talked about in the last thing? Oh my God, that's the thing that really annoyed me. But yeah, when it comes to just doing the career stuff, that doesn't seem like a fulfilling prospect to me. And I'd be very disappointed in myself, and probably regret a lot if I didn't get good at the things that I want to get good at, or claim to want. Because, you know, if you really wanted it, would you try harder? Would you try harder? Now, admittedly, again, I don't, it's not like I don't try. But it's, well, when it comes to piano, definitely not trying because I haven't done it. But yeah, there's the thing that I read about it was that I want to be able to experience other people's cultures in a first-hand basis through knowing their foreign language. So I'd be like, okay, now I can engage. Now the swath of people that I can engage with expands as I learn more languages, because that allows me the ability to connect with people that don't speak English or don't speak English well, so they could connect with me better in their native language. So that sort of thing. So you expand your opportunity to meet all that humanity has to offer. And then for the music stuff, I really like the idea of being able to produce the thing that gives so much joy to people. Like when you're listening to music, it produces an emotional feeling that is indescribable in a lot of ways. And to be able to play an instrument and produce that yourself is just like a really cool prospect to me. And it has, there's some element of, what do I call it? Attention sinking there, potentially, where you're like, oh man, I'm the cool guy that can play the thing. But it's also just like, when you're, it's just really cool when you're the person that's producing the thing. It feels like you're tapped in closer to the music than you could be if you're just a listener. So I find that cool. And then the third thing is like swing dancing. I just find that really fun. It's so fun. And it's so fun to think about, like, as you learn more moves, then the improvisation of it all is so cool, because you're just listening to the music and you're like, okay, this music's in this time, and that means I can do these moves and da 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 da, and then you collect more moves together, and then you can combine those moves in combinatorically infinite ways, and it's just there's something so cool about that prospect, and it looks cool and it feels cool, and you're connected to human beings, and that I don't know. so clearly I have excitement that comes from all these things, or the prospects of doing all these things. It's just a matter of like, can you put in the time day after day, hour after hour, to get to the point that you've grown in these areas? And I think a lot of it is about that issue of the 10 minute to get to focus thing that goes on with these things. And yeah, I don't know. In the Substack article, I have like a sample schedule of the schedule that I made for myself in 2023 of like, I should use these hours these ways. And I didn't follow that schedule at all. I don't know how to format or how to structure my life in a way that gets me to do these things. Because right now it's just on a whim. It's like, okay, I have time right now to do this thing, so I'm going to spend this much time on this thing. And it's always arbitrary. There's no like strict thing. Whereas, you know, when you're in school, it's like, oh, this hour is this subject, this hour is this subject, lunch period, et cetera, et cetera. Is that how I have to structure my life? And I just have to do it no matter what, where it's like, okay, my schedule is this, so therefore I have to do this. But I don't know. There's something about that seems too limiting. Or I'm just lazy, because I'd rather watch a YouTube video or listen to a podcast or what else do I do? I think those are probably the two things that suck up my time the most. And you can justify that by being like, well, I just listened to this podcast and this podcast had this interesting idea. So then I was able to learn this interesting idea. And now that I'm writing stuff for a Substack and doing this podcast, I could conceivably be like, oh, I just watched this YouTube video. Now I can talk about the YouTube video in the podcast. And then you have even more motivation to be like, okay, let's watch other things that are unrelated to these hobbies that I claim to want to do so that I can focus it on this podcast. So yeah, this podcast is another like fourth thing in the list of things. So I don't know. The planning is hard. The planning is indeed hard. I'm going to include the bloopers of my attempts at starting recording this at the end of this. And then there's one other blooper that I'll have. So there'll be three bloopers in this thing. And I already have an idea of what I want to write next. But what ends up happening is that every time I have the idea, I'll start writing about it and I'll be like, wait, this is a completely different idea than the idea that I had originally. And then I'll start being like, okay, let's go in this direction instead. That's actually what happened with this planning thing. This planning thing was originally going to be about my history with like watching YouTube and internet things and creating internet role models equivalent, that sort of thing. But that didn't end up happening. And then I started writing about different things. I feel like the same thing's going to happen over and over again, where I'll start writing about a thing and I'll be like, wait, that could be expanded into its whole own essay. And then you do that, and then you keep doing that over and over again until you can't, and until you finally run out of ideas. I don't think I ran out of ideas quite yet, but anyway, I hope you all have a lovely day. I need to say the things of, make sure to like the video if you like the video, make sure to comment in the comment section so that I can get feedback on whether or not any of this is good or useful to someone. And then review on Apple Podcasts, review on any podcast platform. Those are the main things. I already said like and subscribe. Man, I don't know how to do the call to actions. The call to actions seem cringe to me. But yeah, here's bloopers. Go, 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 go. I really hope I have the mental capacity to record this, because I'm just coming back from poker night, and whenever I do stuff like that or anything that involves drinking, I can definitely tell that, one, it's harder to fall asleep. Two, when you actually wake up from your sleep, you can tell that it's not as quality sleep. And there's some, I don't know, I might have to just quit on alcohol altogether or factor that in. I don't know. It's so hard to figure out whether or not that's a good priority or not. Second thing is like, oh, I might become more reliant on energy drinks or some other forms of caffeine. I'm not really a coffee guy, in order to be like, okay, I can focus more. Because I remember I was studying Japanese, and it was way easier when I started for like half an hour, and then I'd like drink the Monster throughout. And then the caffeine would kick in, and then you're like, you're dialed in. You can get so much time in. I got like 4 hours in on Friday through caffeine alone, probably. So I don't know. It's hard to figure that out. This is going to be the blooper at the end. I'm thinking hard about whether that's right or not. It might be bad health-wise total because drinking bad, but I don't know. Or, but there's so many productive people that are caffeine addicts. Oh my God. I don't know. I don't think caffeine's as big of a deal for the health stuff. I'm talking about alcohol. Okay. Anyway, bloop. All right. So today we're going to be reflecting on Substack article essay that I wrote yesterday on planning stuff. And the hope is that either later today or through this week, I can get a better implementation of said plan, so then I can like get the goals that I claim that I want to get done. But for now, we're going to kind of summarize some of my thoughts from there, and then also talk about implementation strategies potentially. Planning. That's what I do a lot of, is creating a plan. There's a spreadsheet for my budgeting. There's a document after document that says X ideas or X blah, 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 like